Thanks, Gower, for reading and sharing for us. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church. It's great to be back from holidays as well. And I'm going to be speaking from that passage, as well as from a few other passages in the Bible. Something that I can do now that I never thought I'd be able to do, when I was in primary school and even in high school, I was always last or close to last in the cross country, and so I was terrible at long distance running, and so it is a near miracle that now I can actually, at the very least, complete a 5 kilometre run. Never thought I'd be able to do that. All this relates to the topic of empowerment, and that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be hearing what God has to say about being empowered for ministry. And so that's what we're going to get into. Please join with me as we pray and as we head into God's word. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, you tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, that where we are weak, you are strong. And so, Lord, please help us learn today of your strength, your power that comes by the Holy Spirit. And please work your strength through us as we serve you, so that people may see your power at work in us and come to praise and glorify you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you describe yourself as a powerful person? Do you feel powerful in yourself? Your instinctive answer to this question might be no. You might not be able to do tons of push-ups, for example, or you might not be able to beat a lot of people in arm wrestling. Or maybe on the other hand, for another definition of power, you might not have a very impressive title, or you might not be in charge of lots of people. And even when it comes to church, even when it comes to the spiritual side of life, you might not feel like you have a lot of power. Maybe you've tried to encourage people to listen to God's word, and they've just kept on living their own way. Maybe you've tried to start something and people just don't seem motivated to follow you. Or maybe you're constantly kind of with a bit of anxiety reflecting on all the things that you have done and how they could have been better because they weren't quite good enough. A lot of the time, Christians don't look powerful. One of the big messages that our world outside the church tells us is that we are not powerful. But all the same, I want to show you today that you are powerful and that the power that you have is greater than the muscle men and it's greater than the political leaders of this world. Christians are empowered. Christians are effective. Christians are unstoppable because Christians have the power of God through the Holy Spirit who dwells in them. Who is the Holy Spirit, though? Well, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. As Christians, we believe that our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one God in three persons, and each of these three persons are equally God. They all share the same divine nature. But the difference is that each person of the Trinity has a different role, and the Holy Spirit is no exception. The theologian Gordon Fee calls the Holy Spirit God's empowering presence. The Holy Spirit is God who dwells in the hearts of his people. God who gives his people the power to do the will of God in his world. Left to ourselves, we are sinners. We can do nothing. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to serve God and to please God and glorify God. And this is actually what we see in the Bible as well. In the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit empowering Jesus, empowering the apostles, and empowering Christians today to do that will of God. And so firstly, we see that the Holy Spirit empowers Jesus. At about 30 years old, Jesus comes to John the Baptist at the Jordan River to be baptized. When Jesus was baptized, the Bible says that the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Here we see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each member of the Trinity, working together. The Son receives the blessing of the Father. The Spirit comes to dwell within the Son. And right after this episode, Jesus goes out and begins his ministry empowered by the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19, Jesus goes to a synagogue, it's basically the Jewish version of church, and he reads the book of Isaiah, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." You see, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, giving Jesus the power to proclaim, giving Jesus the power to heal the blind, giving Jesus the power to set people free. Later on in Jesus' life, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Jesus says, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." The Spirit gives Jesus the power to cast out demons. Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the people who saw Jesus work, they recognized this. They heard Jesus speak. They saw the miracles that Jesus performed, and they were aware that there was something supernatural going on here. There was something more to Jesus. When Jesus taught, it says that the crowd were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And another time when he was teaching, the crowd marveled, saying, "How is it that this man has learning when he has never studied?" Jesus didn't have a Pharisaic education. He didn't have a PhD in theology, but what he did have was the wisdom of God and God speaking to him, empowered by the Holy Spirit. I've seen the phrase "powered by" a lot recently. Computers and phones are powered by their processors. Cars are powered by their engines. Software is powered by engines of a different kind, and people nowadays, they claim to be powered by coffee or energy drinks or late night runs to McDonald's even. What is it that powers you? I'm pretty sure that Jesus didn't wear t-shirts when he walked the earth, but I wonder whether if he did, he would have one that said "powered by the Holy Spirit." Jesus' power for ministry came through the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. But it doesn't end there. The Holy Spirit's power doesn't end with Jesus. While he was alive, Jesus said to his followers that he would not leave them alone, but that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit is transferred from Jesus to the apostles. So in the book of Acts, we see some of the amazing things that the apostles did. They continued Jesus' mission of teaching and healing and casting out demons. They showed courage and endurance under arrest and imprisonment and persecution. Reading about the apostles in Acts, like they did so many great things, it'd be really easy to treat them as heroes, to almost idolize them. But it wasn't always this way. If you read the Gospels before Jesus rose from the dead, before he returned to the Father, the books before the book of Acts, the apostles were not nearly as impressive. They were easily confused. They often couldn't understand what Jesus said. They said and did some pretty foolish and reckless things. They acted a bit entitled at times, sinful almost. And when Jesus died, the apostles were not courageous. They were scared. They locked themselves in a room. They didn't go out because they were afraid that they would be recognized and arrested. Now, with the apostles, it's like night and day. It's like one of those weight loss advertisements where you've got the before and the after with the pictures of people. You know, it's a massive change that has happened with the apostles. What did it? Well, what caused that change? Well, Jesus says it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transformed and empowered people who were confused, foolish, and cowardly into the perfect instruments for God to bring the good news to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. The same Holy Spirit that powered Jesus also powered the apostles. And that same Holy Spirit powers us as well. That's what we see in the passage that we read today, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11. The Apostle Paul is writing here about serving one another at church, and he writes, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, But it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he works. When you've got a band, you never have one person playing all the instruments. When you've got a sports team, you never have one person playing all the positions. In a company, you never have one person doing all the jobs. And Paul is saying that it is exactly the same in the church. The church is a body with many members. Each person has their own gifts in the church. They have their own part to play. But what makes the church different from a band or a sports team or a workplace is that God's Spirit is at work in the church. God's power is at work in the church. Verse 6, it says, it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Verse 11, it says, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit gives us our gifts. The Spirit empowers our gifts. The Holy Spirit is working when Christians speak encouraging words to each other. The Spirit is working when Christians do acts of service to help each other out. The Holy Spirit is working when Christians sing and play music and lead us in prayer and Bible reading. The Spirit is working when Christians teach children or youth, or when they preach, or when they prepare morning tea. Everything we do is powered by the Spirit. Everything we do will achieve the purpose that God plans for it. But you might have noticed that there's a bit of difference between what I just talked about at church and what this passage talks about. The gifts in 1 Corinthians were much more miraculous than what we see happening at our church. Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about spontaneous words from God. He talks about healings, miracles, speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues, by the way, is speaking in a language that you haven't learned. Imagine suddenly being able to speak German to a German speaker and tell them about Jesus in German. That's what tongues is. Some people take that, though, to suggest that churches like ours do not have the Holy Spirit because we don't have miracles. Is that true? Well, not at all. Paul knew the Corinthian church well. We have the textual evidence of that. Paul knew the gifts that were operating in this kind of church. He knew that they were a particularly miraculous church, but there are other churches that Paul did not know well, like the Romans. When Paul writes to the Romans, he uses gifts that are a lot more mundane. Gifts like service, teaching, exhortation and encouragement, financial giving, leadership, helping people. Peter does the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 2. And so all those mundane gifts are also empowered by the Spirit as well. There are some people who might say that there is nothing special or spiritual going on in the church just because everything they do can be explained by natural means, by human means. But by the same logic, you could conclude that an army actually has no general just because the soldiers do everything. Right? That's not true. God is at work, even in the most ordinary acts of the church. And that means that everyone here, everyone who confesses that Jesus is Lord, has at least one gift that they can use to serve others. You are powered by the same Spirit that gave Jesus and the apostles their teaching and their works. God has charged you up by the Holy Spirit. And you are ready to go. Because the same Spirit who empowered Jesus and the apostles also empowers us. We are powered by the Holy Spirit as well. So what lessons can we take away from this? Well, I think the first one is that if Christians are empowered to serve, then Christians should be eager to serve. If Michelangelo asked you to paint a ceiling with him, you don't say no to an offer like that. Nor would you say no if someone like Ridley Scott or Christopher Nolan asked you to make a movie with them. You know, God is doing a very similar thing to us. God is inviting us to build his church with him. He has empowered all of us for the task. And we don't say no to God either. Christians who are empowered to serve are eager to serve. But I think how that looks might be different. I think depending on whether you know your place at church or not. I think there are some people who do know their place at church. They know where they can best serve others, that they know what their gifts are. They've found a comfortable niche in the church and they're fitting really well into it. Maybe you've found your place because you volunteered for something and found it was all right. Or maybe you found your place because you got volunteered by someone else. Maybe there was a call for people and you took a step forward, or maybe there was a call and everyone else took a step backward. But however you got there, if you know your place, then your takeaway is to serve with boldness and confidence. A lot of self-help, a lot of motivational speaking is about building confidence, and confidence does make a difference with what you do. But without actual power, confidence is just wishful thinking. It's just deluding yourself, or even worse, it's embarrassing yourself. Christian confidence, however, is not a wish or a delusion. Christian confidence is based on real power. It is based on the Holy Spirit who dwells within you and empowers you, who has given you everything you need for life and godliness. And we do not give good credit to that power within us if we go about our service with timidity or reluctance or half-heartedness or weakness. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So don't believe what the world says, trying to tell you that you are powerless. Don't even believe that kind of when you look at yourself, kind of looking at things from an earthly perspective. Believe God when he says that the Spirit of Jesus and the Spirit of the apostles is in you, gifting you and empowering you. Now, this has certainly been my experience of ministry. I think never would I have thought as a kid that I would end up as a Bible teacher. Every now and then I look back on old sermons that I've written, old Bible studies. There are a lot of them, by the way. But as I look at them, I kind of think to myself, what was I thinking when I wrote this? I kind of read what I've written, and I think there is no human reason at all why people should have listened to the words that I said. Sometimes the words that I write, they don't even make sense to me, let alone other people. But miraculously, God has used them. He's used them to bring people to faith, to grow and transform them, to be like Jesus. It's amazing. It's a miracle. You know, I maintain that God does his best work despite me, not because of me. And the more that I know that, the more bold and confident I am in him. And so if you know your place, serve with boldness and confidence. But what if you don't quite know your place here yet? Well, what if you're not quite sure what your gifts are? Well, I think if that's you, then you actually have quite an adventure ahead of you. Because I can guarantee you that God has given you at least one gift that you can use to serve the church. I can guarantee this with 100% certainty, because God guarantees it. The Holy Spirit has gifted you and empowered you, and your role is to discover what that gifting is. And there's a bit of adventure in that, I think. You know, just like in The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings, where Bilbo or Frodo go to one end of Middle-earth and back, and they return home again, having discovered qualities and abilities and powers that they did not know they had. Just like our intro question, where all of us can do things now that we never thought we'd be able to do. There are things that we can discover about ourselves that we can do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And based on my experience of church, I think the only way for people to discover that is to jump in, to give things a go, to try things, be willing to serve in love. If someone asks you if you want to have a go at something in church, let your default answer be yes rather than no. If you see a need in church, think to yourself about maybe the reasons that you could help out with it rather than the reasons for not helping out with it. Go and do things like uni ministries and summer missions, which provide people opportunities to serve God in all sorts of different ways. Because I think many of the people at this church will be able to testify that they have found their place only after a long process of trying all sorts of different things out until they've found something that fits. Kind of like going to the clothing shop and trying all these different clothing in the changing rooms. But you never have found that if you didn't try, if you weren't open. So don't stay on the sidelines at church. Don't just warm a seat. We are all empowered to serve. Jump in and discover what you're empowered in. In church circles, the Holy Spirit often gets either too much attention or too little. Kind of depends on which church you go to. But regardless, the Holy Spirit is always there. The Spirit is always working together with the Father and Son. He is God's empowering presence. He is dwelling within us. He is giving us gifts and the power to use them. Are you looking, are you aware of God at work in us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that without you, we can do nothing. We would be stuck in our sin. But thank you that your Holy Spirit gives us the power at the very outset to repent and believe that Jesus is Lord, to believe that Jesus died for our sins so that we might be right with you. Thank you also that your Spirit gives us the power to please you, to do what is right and good, to walk in obedience to you, and to serve others at church in love as well. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves. We pray that we may know our gifts and use our gifts to serve others to glorify you. Please help us to be aware of the ways in which you've gifted us. Please help us to see your Spirit operative in our brothers and sisters in Christ. And please let us be a church where we are truly a body, where each of the different members use what they can to help each other. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.